Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and lo and behold, what a difference a weekend makes, because on Friday, we were asking if the World Series might actually make it back to H-Town, and we're now sitting in the driver's seat, up 3-2. Two games possibly remaining, if necessary, in H-Town, and all is good in the world.
How funny would it be if they ended up getting swept at home again, though?
It did. I'm not trying to
be Debbie Downer, but damn it.
It did cross my mind. Yeah, it did cross my mind that it would be such a Houston thing to do, to waste the last strong bullet you have in the gun. And then have to just do a mad scramble in game seven. But regardless.
I'm so pumped, though.
Fantastic weekend.
I mean, you're an Astros fan, you're on cloud nine right now.
You better
be. There's just no. I'm like I was giddy. Could they just play today? I don't want it to stop. I just want them to keep playing, keep winning. So cool, because it was. I was nervous. I was really nervous that this thing might not come home. You got a gift from the baseball gods with Max Scherzer not being able to go. That's huge. You say what you want, Garrett Cole. Pitches the way he pitches, and you know, it's probably still a really good game. No guarantee that they win. But, you know, you still got to the bullpen, and you have to get to the bullpen with the Nats. So at some point, you have a chance, even if Scherzer and Strasburger on the mound. But super excited, man. What a fun weekend.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And the thing is that it was everybody else, everybody step it up. There's no head and shoulders favorite for MVP that's anybody stepping up above everybody else. Altuve's hitting for average. Brantley's hitting for average. But Chirinos has home runs in two straight games.
Crazy.
Correa, who hasn't been hitting for average at all and has just been randomly picking spots, picked a great spot for a ding-dong last night. So did your boy Yordan. Oh.
Yeah.
So he broke out with one. You know, Springer's been good. But you go up and down the list. I mean, dare I say, Will Harris needs consideration, because every time you call him into the highest of high leverage situations, he bails your ass out, including Josh James, who I don't want to see the rest of the damn series.
Oh, you changed your mind about Josh James?
I was done with him late in the year, and then I realized AJ was building up trust. How you trust that guy? How you don't let your Keady go out there for one more inning as opposed to setting gasoline on that fire. Oh, he drives me nuts.
Good times indeed. I mean, so many games to discuss. I mean, you kind of gave the gist of what happened this weekend. But, the fact, you know, I think what's getting lost in all this because of the weekend is the outing from Zach Greinke.
Yep.
That was huge, because you had to stop the bleeding. You know, Anibal Sanchez was, you know, coming off of his great performances in the playoffs, and it was nervous. That's why we were saying, look, man, this – Greinke's obviously a better pitcher than Sanchez, but on the road, Greinke has struggled a little bit in these playoffs. He hasn't looked comfortable. So that was a huge thing for this team to get.
Because he was grinding.
He didn't get a quality start out of him. He only went 4 1/3. Yep. 4 2/3.
4 2/3, yep.
But it was absolutely huge. The bullpen held it together, didn't give up a run after that. And that was a big momentum swing for this team. Man,
Joe Smith has been a huge part of this team this postseason.
I think it's safe to say that, I mean, as far as when the game's on the line, regardless of inning, it's Will Harris. But when you need to lock a team down and get you to the ninth, it's Joe Smith.
I agree.
And so, and that's why you don't necessarily see it go Smith, Harris, Osuna. Harris is the guy when, whether it's, you know, Josh James or the starter, gets you into big trouble where it looks like the game's about to be blown wide open. You bring in Will Harris. He gets you out of the mess. You move on. And no damage, no harm done. And Joe Smith is that guy where you're like, damn, we just got to get to the ninth. We just got to get Osuna in the game. Who are we going to turn to? You're going to turn to Joe Smith.
And not worry about walks. Because that's the big thing with James.
Yeah, he throws comes strikes.
Or Rondon, who throws great strikes for batting practice because guys are just waiting to tee up. So you don't want to see James or Rondon, but you actually take a sigh of relief and a deep breath when you see Smith and
Harris.
Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you believe in Osuna?
Okay. Maybe a little better than average. Yeah, no, I feel okay.
I mean, he had the one. I get it. He gave up the two, but that's the Yankees. That's DJ LeMahieu. That's going to happen.
I know, but
on
I just actually like really feel more comfortable when he has a 3 or 4 run lead than I do when he has like a 1 or 2 run lead. And that's just me.
Were you surprised that he didn't come in after he had already warmed up for last night's game?
I thought that he would get the inning just for no other reason than to kind of continue to push things in the past behind him and just move forward. I was glad Presley got in there a little bit as well, because Presley's is a medical thing. And
his is a confidence thing, too, but I think he got his confidence back for that big outing that he had right before he hurt the knee. If Presley is back and he's got his confidence and Osuna's doing his thing, got the save in the 4-1 win on the 25th, you know, obviously Harris and Joe Smith, boy, that changes the whole look of the last two games. If those four guys are confident and on top of their game, that's huge advantage Astros at this point.
No doubt about it. So a good weekend if you're a Houston sports fan, because your Texans win, your Astros win, your Rockets win,
what?
In case you cared or even saw it. They play again tonight. But overall, the only thing that could have been icing on the cake would have been if the Colts found a way to lose instead of an Adam Vinatieri redemption field goal, winning the game for them.
That's exactly what that is, too.
A great weekend to be a Houston sports fan. That's why we were so fired up to get in here today, because we got so much to get to, so much to talk about. And, of course, you probably have a whole lot on your mind you want to get off your chest, too, because there's the cleat to the face. There's J.J. Watt. There's boobies behind home plate.
Yes!
Including one of the pairs of the boobies is going to join us.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Julia Rose. Going to join us at 2:15. I've hipped you guys. I don't want to say I'm the creepy one. I've hipped you guys to her Instagram. But I actually knew Julia because way back in the day with Houston Game Day, we did a calendar. And Julia was one of the people that the photographer we hired worked with. And so that's how I met her. Well, I mean, we kind of met, but it was, so when I found out it was her, I was like, what? We've like talked about her Instagram and pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I thought I recognized her. Wait a minute.
Whoops.
What?
I thought it was Lance at first. And then I realized when they kind of zeroed in more, I realized it was a female. But
you thought it was Zerline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Giving you a little action.
I thought it was Lance
Zerline
and Phil Mickelson.
Or maybe it was Orlando Granato trying to get some run for the morning show.
Yeah.
Like, check out the bench.
Boobies for the bench.
Yeah. Nice.
No.
That's hilarious.
Okay. So we'll have Miss Rose on.
One of them, the nipples were very small, so maybe that was Palillo. I don't know.
And he was there.
Yeah.
He could have done that too. Because driving in, I found out he was doing the show from D.C. So the little baseball fanatic made his way to the road games of the World Series.
Sure.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So lots to get to. And, of course, we always want your participation. So, as always, we are reachable. HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can always reach us via Twitter, which is at Pac-Man Joel, at Barry is Funny, and at the producer Nick. You were out of town all weekend, so how'd that go for you?
It was fun. It was we had a good time. After the show Saturday, it got a little wild.
Yeah, I saw your Twitter with a man licking your head.
Yeah, that surprised me too.
I would think it should for a man that's as hygienically freaked out as you are.
I was kind of drunk at that point, so it didn't matter. It really didn't matter.
So it felt good, and you said do it again.
Satanic hillbilly.
That
was
my initial guess.
Was that I was drunk,
or at least you had a couple in you to be nice enough to allow
couple
someone
what?
To lick
beer?
Say easy. He might. Oh boy, wanted to put more than a couple in him after licking his head.
Whiskey, what beers, yeah, whatever yeah, else you're talking
no, it was
about.
Totally whiskey. Yeah, jeez. It was totally whiskey. Had a couple of those in me for sure. Wow. It got a little wild because this couple came up from Oklahoma City to see the headliner and hang out, and they were real nice. And then they were like, hey, do you want to go get a drink with us? I was like, sure. And this was last show. I didn't have nothing to do. Just had to get up in the morning and drive back. So I was like, yeah, I'll go hang out for a little while. So they're like, we're going to go around the corner and grab a drink. So we walk into this place called the Barleycorn in Wichita, Kansas. And there's a cover guy, and he's like, nah, you don't have to pay the cover. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. Well, we didn't realize there was a band at the Barleycorn. And we start to walk in, and I'm starting to see, like, gothy-looking people, you know, like, just kind of weirdos, just dressed up all crazy-looking. There's, like, there's one dude in a full, like, skeleton outfit with and it had a penis on it. And I was like, well, that's a little specific for a skeleton. Wow. But then I look on stage, and there's this, I don't know, bunch of dudes with face tattoos. And one guy has the upside-down star. Like a pentagram, the satanic star tattooed on his head, of his head.
Yeah. That's a good look.
They've all got face tattoos, and one of them is playing a mandolin. There's a banjo.
Oh, Bruce Hornsby was there?
There's a banjo, there's a regular guitar, the drummer, and then an upright bass, like a jazz band. Not just like a regular bass guitar, but like an upright bass, right? So I'm like, what the hell is going on? And they're screaming, and I don't know what's going on. But then I start listening, and I'm really digging the music. Like, really digging the music. It was really good. So I'm starting to vibe with it. I'm like, this is great. We're drinking. We're having a good time. I ended up just falling in love with this band. Now, the name I can't say on radio. It's not super clean. But we'll just say this. They're called the Gosh Darn Gallows. But you got to replace that with the curse word. Uh-huh. Yeah. The GD Gallows, right? A lot of devil music, but it's weird when you listen to devil music to a banjo. It makes it's this juxtaposition of sound. And I was like, this is too insane. So we go over and I'm like, I joined their mailing list. I was trying to buy a shirt. I was like, I'm all in. I'm loving this. This is my new favorite band, right? So we're hanging out, and then it goes by, and I'm like, I want to meet these guys. I want to take pictures with them. I want to hang out.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, no problem. And when they're over, just go up to them. They're real cool. And sure enough, they were in the back, and we walk in, and we're like, hey, we're comics, man. We were in town. We came here just to have a drink, found you guys. Like, I'm digging it, and we're taking pictures. And, yeah, at some point, the guy just licked my head, and I was like, wow, I'm so glad I'm drunk right now because I feel like Satan just licked the top of my head. But they couldn't have been nicer. And I don't know if the satanic part of it is just for show. I mean, I feel like if I was by myself, they might have injected me with some sort of meth and then murdered me. But that was just, that might have been the whiskey talking. You know what I'm saying? Because they were actually really, really nice. Just a bunch of dudes from Michigan. Just, you know, doing the band thing.
They're up north.
They're Midwesterners.
Quality people.
So I told them they were supposed to be here in Houston for the most recent flood. They were at the House of Blues and the show got canceled. So I told him, I said, okay, if you come back to Houston, I'm going to text you guys. I'm going to keep up with you. You guys got to come in studio and do the show for a segment. We'll help promote your show. So they were like, awesome. So we're going to have a satanic hillbilly band
judging based on just how they like to lick heads. I mean, Nick's got to be like,
oh, they're going to love
Nick's got to be like radio porn for these guys.
He's halfway to devil horns anyways. They're going to be like, oh my God.
That would be a disaster.
It's our leader.
That'd be so terrible if he licked my horn.
I will get, a picture of that.
Bro, he'll totally lick it. I'm going to ask him if they'll lick
That's disgusting.
No, that would be so great.
He better give me 50 feet.
He's going to get, I don't know about 50 feet, but he's going to give you enough.
But seriously, they're called the Gosh Darn Gallows.
The GD.
Well, yeah, the GD Gallows. And my favorite song is Y'all MFers Need Jesus. It's the best. Just go listen to it. See if you like it. If you do, put it in your rotation. But shout out to them. They were outstanding.
There you go. Nicholas, anything this weekend?
I mean, I just went to the Texans game last night.
Oh, yeah, you were busy.
So, yeah, I'll be going to Rockets tonight. Astros the following on Tuesday. So I just been absorbing all this Houston sports, to be honest with you. Right. I've been very sportsy.
So much.
You went Rockets, Texans, Rockets, Astros.
Rockets, I went as the first game I went as a fan. I took my mom.
Oh, very cool.
You can.
Very cool.
Shout out to Joel for hooking me up with the tickets.
Oh, look at that.
Said one take mom, one make sure mom's taken care of.
I dig it.
Yeah, so we had some really good seats, and I showed my mom where I usually work, so she was excited about that. I was really interested to see if she was going to stay the whole game. Perhaps this is not a fair game to judge her on because it was a close game all the way to the end. We probably can get to that later. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have been that close, but we can talk about that later. But it was a fun experience just to go as a fan. I mean, I really enjoyed it, so...
Well, that's good cool. deal, and you're not going to get a break till maybe later in the week. So lots going on, lots to talk about, as we said, and we're just getting started. So we love the fact that you suspects are tuning in. Christina is tuning in all the way from across the pond.
Where?
In London.
Oh, I thought you meant
she
like,
and her daughter are already there, and she's saying, I can hear y'all. No. So,
they went over there for Texans?
Nope, just for a vacation. So she has been sending us notes and pictures, so we can catch up on those.
Very too. But, cool.
Yeah, you can listen to. We'd love to hear from you. And before we get any further into the show or get to the break, I do want to tell you, if you're looking for a new energy provider and you're looking for a company that's Houston-based that's really going to take care of you, I can only recommend one, and that would be the great people at Infuse Energy. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff, fantastic. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. You can't get better, so that's why you start there. And then you realize that everything they do for you. They ask about when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And they ask you enough questions so they can narrow down the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and it's a $25 bill credit right off the top, and it goes from there. I'm telling you, I changed 3 years ago. I renewed because I saved thousands off my previous energy provider, and they can do the same for you, like so many listeners that I've set up with them, and I can do it for you too, because all you got to do is ask for Josh Pesikoff, and he does the rest. Check him out at InfuseEnergy.com, or better yet, call him 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, rolling through the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're just getting started. We take you all the way till 4. So forget about what you've heard about to this point or what you may hear later in the day. It's all us just chatting about sports and things and everything that's gone on and will be going on in the fine city of Houston in regards to their teams. Because like I said, we've got Astros, we've got Texans, we've got Rockets. Big one actually for you non-basketball people like Barry. Chris Paul's return should be interesting tonight at Toyota Center just to see all the different reactions and how that all goes down. But we'll get to that. But we were talking first and foremost about the priority of the weekend, and that was your Houston Astros. They went in down 0-2. And God, I hate when news people try to do sports on every station. They built a 2-0 hole on some stations.
Built? Who's out there building?
They built a 2-0 hole, and then it was really exciting when Carlos Correa stepped to the base.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and then they got points instead of runs. Oh, I'm like, that's boy. Why you don't send news people to do sports stories. Because you just don't know.
Can I get something off my chest?
Sure.
Pitching too?
I was noticed there was a little something between your pecs.
It's just you and JJ. It's just manly hair. Yeah. And there's no hair. It's like two hairs.
Okay.
I hate when they go and do a post-game large crowd interview. Mm-hmm. Whether it be here or after the game. And they're just like, hey, let's go to Julie. She's down on the streets with Astros fans. She's like, hey, guys, as you can see, I'm surrounded. What did you guys think of the game? Well, dumbass, they won. What do you think that they thought of the game? They liked it. Are they going to go and win it all? Yes! Thank you for wasting 2 minutes of my time with that ridiculous garbage.
Inevitably, when you're on the road doing this.
There's never a good interview in a crowd full of hyped up fans, ever.
And no matter how much you think you were surrounded by Astros fans, like each station has someone that's a news person doing it from D.C.
Yeah.
inevitably you are pissing off their fans to the point where someone's walking by flipping you off.
Yeah.
And someone's walking by yelling, "Go Nats," right in the middle of it. And, you know, if you're a professional, you're not supposed to react. But you just want to throw like a freaking forearm right under their chin and go, get the hell out of my live shot.
I don't understand. I don't like, and people are like, well, you're no fun. I'm sorry, but just post-game interviews or large rowdy fan interviews are worthless. There is no point to them.
And they're all hammered.
And yeah, they're all hammered. And then the people doing the interviews don't know bleep about sports. And it's just a mess. It's just an absolute mess.
I'm here with Cleet. He wants to talk about the Astros victory. Cleet, what do you think is going to happen the rest of the series?
We're going to win!
I just think that they're going to come to play and go Astros! We're going to take it back home or take it whatever! Okay, thanks, Cleet. We'll
move on.
Don't
make it back. No, that's not the slogan.
Man.
Whatever. Yeah, it's rough.
But
then, I don't
like them. When they don't use the right terminology, it drives me absolutely nuts.
But props to Astros fans.
Oh, they traveled.
Props to Astros fans for staying after and doing the Baby Shark song, but doing it with, they would go, take it back, doot, 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 take it back, doot, doot. That is the best. I love those fans. That was badass. And also, can I just say, it seems like props to Nationals fans for being very classy.
Yep, seems that way. Yep.
And great. Somebody took out an ad in a paper where they said, hey, you guys, we were down here. It was a World Series, our first one. We were very excited. We walk around our Astros stuff around the city. And everyone could not have been nicer in this city to us while we were here. So thank you for your hospitality. There were people going up to Mattress Mac that lived in D.C., that wanted to take pictures with him and saying, we hear about what you do in Houston and we admire you and that city is so lucky to have you. Can we take a picture with you? That's really classy stuff. That would never happen in New York. They'd throw stuff at Mattress Mac. They would dump beer on him. So props to the fans in D.C. for being classy.
No doubt about it. Especially it's night and day from going from Yankee fan to Nationals fan. They have been classy. They might not have been classy when they introduced the president last night.
Yeah, you know what else? You know what's classy is putting money in your pocket is classy. I don't know if that's true or not, but Get Upside, if you want to be classy, go download Get Upside right now, put it on your phone. You're going to absolutely love it. Speaking of it, you can actually, Get Upside was actually in D.C. I think that's where it started, but now they're in Houston and they're expanding. Somebody was telling me they were using it in Denver. It's all over the place now, and it's just getting bigger and better, and you're going to love it because it gets you cash back for stuff you're paying for like gas and food. So do yourself a favor. Put it on your phone right now. It's in your app store. It's completely free. You don't have to be locked into any commitments when you install it or use it. It's just you getting cash back for your purchases, and that's the whole point of the app, is that you go and fill up and get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. It's your cash. You're hanging on to it. You can get up to 35% cash back when you go and buy food through the app. It's your cash. You're hanging on to it. It's a beautiful thing because it's your money. I want you guys to hang on to it. And look, when you do use it, I always say when I end it, thank me later. Let me know. I mean, send me screenshots of your accounts. I love seeing you guys. There's listeners that have over $500 in their account, $100, $75. I love seeing the success story. So keep them coming, y'all. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
2-1. That is hit into left center field. Back at the wall. It is gone. You're done. Alvarez back in the lineup for the Astros, and he goes deep the opposite way to make it 2-0 Houston in the second.
That was the incomparable Joe Buck on the Fox broadcast as Yordan Alvarez got the party started last night with a two-run dinger. And then we had Correa with a two-run dinger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Springer with a one-run dinger.
Yeah.
It was quite the evening last night if you were an
Astros
fan.
I just realized how sexual Joe Buck's call sounded. He went deep the other way. I was like, wow, then.
He was at the show the other night in Wichita, too.
No. No, but I was like, oh, wow, that's kind of erotic, Joe. Good job. Are you still mad at Joe Buck? You still not a fan?
I mean, I could tolerate him.
I could. If you wanted to tell me you hated Alex Rodriguez, fine, because he obviously hates the Astros.
Cheesy cheese.
Nora told me I didn't get to watch the post games, obviously, because I was on stage doing shows. But apparently, Nora said that Alex Rodriguez implied that Bregman was cheating again by stealing signs, because they were like, well, if he's just going to keep hitting like this, he's obviously picking up signs or something. And apparently David Ortiz jumped him and was like, what do you mean, bro? And he was like, oh, no.
They've been jumping on each other a lot.
Well, yeah, because then David Ortiz last night was suggesting, look, good pitching beats good hitting, and look what happened.
That's what I'm talking about.
Great pitching on the road. They scored 3 runs total. And he goes, hey, Poppy, look, at some point, you got to call it like you see it. It was bad offense. I'm like, bad offense is usually the product of good pitching, right?
Yeah, at least he got real when they said, how would you do in a game like this? And he's like, oh, I would have been overmatched, and I wouldn't have done anything. I was like, yeah. Well, at least you got that part right.
And then I called him a hater, and people were like, well, you know that you picked him. That doesn't matter. He can be objective and be a hater. Absolutely.
He's just so unbelievable in everything that he says. Yeah. It's just so phony. I can't stand watching it.
I will say this, and I'm not going to defend Alex Rodriguez, but I think he has a point in a way. The fact that when you look at last night's game, they had 4 left on base, and they were 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. But the first two games, it was something like 2-for-21 or 2-for-19 with 21 left on base or something like that. That's a product of anemic offense, because that's what the Astros were really doing in the first couple games, and really in these playoffs is they've been leaving a lot of guys on base, so they're getting hits, they're just not cashing in when they needed to. But last night was absolutely 1,000% just dominant pitching.
No doubt about it. And look, and here's the other thing. For everybody that had something to say about Max Scherzer, one thing that everybody has said is, this dude is a gamer. So you knew it had to be really bad for this guy to not be able to pitch. So let's get that out there right away. And then the other thing is that from a Astros perspective, look, you can't applaud that, because there is a chance in that locker room when you finally get word of that happening, there could be a huge letdown. There could be a team that could have relaxed a little bit and gone, oh, we got this now.
Right.
But instead they didn't. And they kept the pedal down. They did what they had to do. And you can't worry about what the other team is going through. You can only worry about what you're dealing with in that clubhouse. And they handled their business, just like the home plate umpire. I mean, obviously, with what we've seen throughout the playoffs, and again last night, and look, the Nationals got a couple of calls that they really feel like they got screwed on that were really borderline, but the Astros got some too. And throughout the series, it's been back and forth, bad both ways. It's just a bad look for baseball, and it gets back to what we've been preaching the entire time is, if your main objective, which it always is supposed to be, is to make sure you get the calls right.
Right.
It's time to get that electronic strike zone, because it's just there was too many inconsistencies.
Yeah. Nah, it was. And that was a makeup call that Cole got to get out of
for
an inning.
For sure it was.
But that's going to happen, and it was bad for everybody. So I don't feel like that was a factor in the game necessarily. It was just, it was consistently bad, which I guess that's consistent.
I mean, even Ryan Zimmerman came out and said, if you're going to make this about Cederstrom behind the plate last night, then you're completely wrong. Yeah. Because Cederstrom, this was about Gerrit Cole.
Oh, absolutely. It was about Gerrit Cole, and it was about the Astros' bats. I mean, yeah. Cederstrom had nothing to do with the Yordan Alvarez 2-run home run. You talk about an out here and an out there, but there are plenty of outs that you give away, booting balls or whatever. So, yeah, I don't think that was a decision. It's frustrating to watch, because you'd love to see them be a little more accurate. But I just real quick, I wanted to go back to my point, because when I was talking about Alex Rodriguez and saying that, oh, it was anemic offense, I don't remember, but I seem to recall him kind of praising the pitching in games 1 and 2 and how dominant the Washington Nationals pitching were. But if you're going to make the case about an anemic offense for the Nationals in the last couple games, then you kind of have to do that with the Astros, because they left 11 on base against Scherzer. So it wasn't like, you know, they were 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position against Scherzer. So again, obviously he's a good pitcher, and they worked around some situations, but the Astros offense also let them down. So I wouldn't have exactly said that, oh, well, Scherzer on the mound was an automatic W, because he did give up a couple runs. It's just Cole had an uncharacteristic outing for him, giving up the 5 runs. So I just, Rodriguez drives me nuts, because he's not being consistent with the way that he's breaking down this series game to game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that all 3 guys were great players,
yep,
obviously.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of the times you just hope it translates. I think John Smoltz is solid, really, very really good, and gives you great info.
Great teeth.
And the way he presents it, except for the fact that he needs dental work. But of the 3 guys in the studio for Fox, I mean, sometimes you just – I have so many issues with them that I find myself going over to MLB Network and just trying to get the press conference interviews and get some of the information that way, because there is no real chemistry. And then it's more of, you know, I don't know. It seems like they're fighting A-Rod and Poppy all the time.
It does.
And I don't need that.
Yeah, I just want – be a little more objective, or if you're going to argue, be entertaining. But right. It's not. It's just like A-Rod's trying to be the de facto expert on the panel. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, bro, your bias is so overwhelming that no one can take what you say serious. You have to take it with a grain of salt. Especially when you're putting on Yankees helmets. You're doing pregame for the World Series or the playoffs, and you're supposed to be unbiased as possible. You can't be putting on Yankees helmets and expect the fans in Houston to respect what you're going to say at any point after that. You just lose your credibility, in my opinion.
I agree. So. I totally agree. So from that perspective, look, and like we said, from an umpire perspective, you can easily admit the umpire blew calls both ways.
Sure.
And throughout the series, and throughout the Yankee series, everybody's had a beef. I think the greatest audio that they actually, I'm glad they got out there before they censored it for fear of cuss words, was just Martinez from the dugout going, "This is the World Series.
Yeah. You gotta be better. Wake up." He goes, "Wake up."
Yeah, you gotta be better than that. And that's the key. This isn't like a weekend series in Kansas City.
Right.
This is the you don't want to be the guy that is remembered for the call he missed at first base between the Cardinals and the Royals.
Yeah.
You want to have a series that's remembered for, hey, the first five games the road team won all five and it was amazing and it made for, you know, great drama. And then regardless of what happens in 6 and 7, you got a long series and people can talk about that. But when you're talking about the people that are umpiring the game instead of what happened on the field, that's not the way it's supposed to play out.
By the way, 1,000 people tweeted me the video of the chicks showing their breasts behind home plate. 1,000 of you have already texted the show. Are y'all going to talk about that? Yes. If you would have tuned in on time like you're supposed to at 1 o'clock, Nicholas has already lined up Julia Rose, who was one of the females behind the plate showing her breast. She's going to be on the show at 2:15. We have already featured her Instagram before. Yeah, we're well aware. If it involves boobs, of course this show knows about it. Why would you guys even expect anything else?
Yeah, you knew her before, too. So, of course, I mean, you don't have to ask for it, and you get it.
Yes.
And it's going to be great information. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's what we're going to bring to the table as well. But I don't know what was better. I mean, you either had the boobies last night or the boob that actually had the greatest shirt ever that says Joe Buck sucks.
That was pretty good.
And then I thought, to give Joe Buck credit, he tweeted the picture and goes, "How do I get one of these shirts?"
That's so
I
good. Thought,
that was actually a and great way to handle
last
it.
Last night you had the veterans to impeach Trump sign. I don't know what happened there. Did they get after them and kick them out too?
I don't know, but I know people had
That's
pictures
a slippery
of them
slope.
Putting that up.
Was it something about the ISIS leader being captured?
No, they booed Trump. I know that. They announced they were cheering. Was something happened where they were clapping for
veterans? Oh, you're talking about in the game?
Yeah. In the stadium.
No.
They were clapping for like the vets in the stadium, and then they showed Trump and everybody in D.C., which I thought was weird. But everybody in D.C. booed Trump, and then
they were chanting something, too.
Oh, lock him up.
Lock him up.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty funny.
And you know, did you hear how they twisted it? That might be for Rendon, because he does need a new contract.
Get out of here.
No, that's for Donald Trump.
That is not Rendon.
Yeah.
And then they had, some vets behind the plate had signs that said veterans to impeach Trump or for impeachment or something. I don't know. See, not that of the one, there's one spot where you wouldn't be surprised that there would be a bunch of political statements made in a World Series game, and it would be in D.C., right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as we roll through, Tim wants to get in here on this Max Scherzer pitching thing. Let's get him in. Tim, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I wanted to know what y'all's thoughts were with the Astros going into Washington down 2-0 and then tying it up and then winning last night with this Scherzer thing. Do you think the Washington Nationals kept Scherzer out? I know he's a gamer, and I know he wanted to pitch, but do you think they kept him out so he could pitch in a Game 7 in Houston since he was so dominating in Houston?
Absolutely not, no Tim. Chance. I don't. Well, you're down 2-2. You've already lost two at home. You don't want to. You don't think that they don't want to come back up 3-2 with some breathing room? Absolutely not. I think you get your best pitchers on the mound as quickly as possible. Because what if they lose that game and lose tomorrow? Then you leave Scherzer on the bench. You leave that bullet in the gun and you never shoot it. No way.
I feel like it's an easy decision.
Yeah this was no Joe Madden way. A couple years ago when he left his closer, his best relief pitcher on the bench trying to save him.
Yeah.
And then he never got a chance to pitch. And this is the same kind of thing. And we talked about this. If you're down 3-2, you actually have to consider pitching Gerrit Cole sooner than you would like. And to Barry's point, you can rely, just like on game one of the World Series, rely on the fact that Cole was never going to let you down and he was not going to have a bad outing and he was going to keep on rolling. But stranger things have happened. And as Barry said, if you leave that bullet in the holster, that gun in the holster, instead of shooting every shot you got, and the fact that you are banking on a game seven and you get beat like you did last night, and then if Strasburg doesn't carry through, what good does it do you?
Because you still got to run your bullpen out there. So even though Strasburg might give you 6-7 strong, still got to get six outs with that bully. And we saw last night they got to Hudson.
Well, your boy with the rich name, the rich kid's name that they keep running out there. If you're the Astros, you got to love every time Rainey? Tanner Rainey touches the rubber. You're like, yes, let me hit another one. So,
yeah, no doubt.
Hey, by the way, before we get going any further, suspects, we'd like to give back to you. Want to let you know that the untold true crime drama of NBA referee and the betting scandal Inside Game comes to theaters this Friday. You can watch what happens to one of the best referees in the NBA when he starts betting on his own games and how hard he falls when the FBI finds out about it. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to the premiere of Inside Game this Friday at Regal West Oaks Mall at 7 p.m. Caller number 14, 713-780-3776. Caller 14, 713-780-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets to find out the real story behind NBA ref Tim Donaghy and his strategy to make millions betting on the games he was reffing. Inside Game, in theaters everywhere, this Friday. Good luck. We're going to keep rolling along. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back in hour number one of the three-hour festivities of The Big Show. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, riding high after all of the Houston teams did well.
Yeah. Hey, can I read some texts?
Hey, sure. Bring it to the table and then everybody can
eat. I feel like somebody told you guys something that's making both of you smile right now.
I also have a pet peeve sometimes when people take the air and they try to be a little over the top when the microphones are on.
Who's that?
Oh, my God. People on the news.
Good morning to everybody except people that are over the top.
Because that's not old. After I read that, I always think I could see the boobs behind home plate or I could just see them on Twitter with that tweet.
Oh, boy. Hey, Nick, were you at Poison Girl on Saturday during the pub crawl?
I was.
That was a text, not me asking because I don't care.
I was. I want to tweet out
the follow-up text was, I would have said hi, but I didn't want to bother you.
You should have said hi. We were just chilling.
See, people always do that. Well, I saw you. I'll get that. Like, oh, I saw you at a gas station or whatever, but I didn't want to say hi. I'm like, bro, just come up. As long as I'm not eating, and even then I've had people come over. If you don't, like, linger, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm not Brad Pitt. I mean, I'm handsome.
Oh, my God.
You're definitely not handsome.
But I'm not cocky like him. So that's the only difference between us. Everything
totally
else
approached
is the
me.
Same. Yeah, go up to Nick and say hi.
Dude, Nick, you're single. Everyone should approach you.
So whatever.
Then you can weed it all out, and it'll work out in the end.
Poison Girl was fun, too. It was a Halloween thing.
What is Poison Girl?
What is that?
It's like a bar in Montrose.
Really?
Yep.
Hey,
save the texts and the tweets about me being in Montrose.
Yeah. Because we already know. So, guys, my wife bought me tickets for Game 6 tomorrow for my birthday. Do y'all mind giving a shout-out to Joanna for the best gift I ever received? Nope, not going to do it.
No, stop right there. At least you didn't give her name.
Not gonna give her a shout-out for being an awesome wife and getting you Game 6 tickets because that was really cool. We're not going to do it.
We suggested cologne, so at least she went in a different direction for you.
Hey, Barry, I love the God Bleep Gallows. I don't know how to do that every time.
The
G-Damn Gallows. You should also check out the Necromantics. That's from Aggie Joe.
By the end of the week, you are going to be 100% satanic in most people's mind. Yep.
Oh, look. The Y'all Mother Bleepers Need Jesus is jamming. Good call, Barry. The G-Damn Gallows just got a new black fan. That's outstanding. It's a good song. Nick, did you like it?
I did like this. I didn't think I would, to be honest with you, but then when I heard it.
Y'all Mother Bleepers Need Jesus. It's so good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but it's weird, creepy, but like in a good way.
So
not in a terrible
way. They did their set, and then they were like, good night, we're the bleep, bleep, and gallows. And then they got off stage, and I was like, man, I really hate we missed a lot of this because we had our shows. And then there, you know, there was like, I mean, there wasn't crowded. It was a small bar. There was maybe 30 people there. They were like, come back. And they were screaming and throwing beer cans. And I was like, oh, no. And then they came back out. And then they did that song. I was like, yep, I'm for sure in love now. That's an amazing song. I love it so much.
So those type of bands, even if they don't necessarily have the biggest following, they usually have like a strong, stable following.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Cult-like following? Just yeah. Throwing it out there.
A cult is more negative. It has more of a negative connotation to it, though.
Right.
I just mean like a stable following. Like
because their message isn't negative.
Well, it's funny because like when you listen to that song, you assume it's satanic, but he's just telling people there's sin in their heart and they need Jesus.
And don't you feel too that people part of what they're doing when they're doing it is to get a little chuckle out of people?
Yeah, I mean a little bit. Although I will say that actually tattooing a pentagram on your head is probably not for the chuckles.
No,
I don't feel like that's for the chuckles necessarily. But it was a lot of fun, and at one point I did notice the difference between comedy and satanic rockabilly. And there's really not a lot of differences, but one of them was in the middle of their set, the singer's singing and they're, you know, everybody's doing stuff and one guy just throws a beer can at the stage and hits one of the guys playing guitar and he never moved. He just kept jamming and then somebody was like one of his bandmates slapped his face and I was like, "Yeah, that's never going to happen in comedy. If it did,
not a Motley Crue concert. Mick Mars might do the same thing.
Yeah, but true.
He either's going to kill you or he's not going to move either.
Oh, that was wild, though. That was good times.
Okay. Yeah. So we're glad to have all you people that are satanic rockabillies chiming into the show.
That's right. They got a new black fan. By the way, there were no black people in the crowd at the G-Damn Gallows. Hmm. So for surprising, it was weird. I was like, what? There was a skeleton with a very large penis, but that was it.
He showed me a picture of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your eyes light up.
No, that was an interesting costume.
In fact, if you want to see all the dudes, I showed you guys some of the pictures of the band. A little scary looking.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They look intimidating at the very minute.
Go to my Instagram, @BarryIsFunny, and there's pictures of all the guys. And I think everyone was like, what the hell are these guys doing here? And I probably was more excited to meet them than anyone. But they were so nice. Just, you know, good old Midwestern boys. Love cheese and Satan. What's wrong with that, right?
Michigan's not really cheese, but that's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But Midwest
is. Yeah, close
enough. Fat girls. It's cheese.
I can't argue that. And I won't.
That's right.
And you know this.
Yeah.
So Astros and Nats game 6 tomorrow night. We're expecting Strasburg against Justin Verlander. So another great matchup. And hopefully the home team can finally get a victory in this series because that's been crazy. So we've talked a lot about the World Series. And again, if you missed it early on, Julia Rose, one of the girls that decided to show her lungs to America.
She freed
behind
the
home plate. Yep. She's going to join us.
Can't wait for that.
Yep,
Not only does she look hot on Instagram, she sounds hot on the phone.
Yeah.
She wanted to join us, but she had to buy a separate ticket for her breast, so it didn't work out. But we're very much looking forward.
If you go to her Instagram, I remember this. This was like a year or two ago when the Free the Nipple campaign was really gaining momentum.
Yeah.
It was really getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Who did that? I just did that. but she would do that like on a plane. Like she would... It looked like she was taking a selfie, and she would just lift her shirt up, and none of the passengers around her would know. It's a pretty wild adventure, the whole Free the Nipple
hopefully,
thing.
Hopefully she's
taking
just
her
as
followers
fun on the air as she is on her Instagram.
Oh, I hope so. And that's going to suck if she's boring. I'm going to be like, whatever, hang up. We'll just go look at you.
We'll just hang up on her.
So she and her friend Lauren Summer, if you missed the story, but they were behind home plate. They decided at a certain point in the game that they were going to flash the national crowd and everybody in the area. And then subsequently, after the game, and somehow it was delivered rather quickly, but she also put on social media that Major League Baseball issued her a letter that she and her friend were permanent, at least until they lift the ban, they are permanently banned right now from any getting to any Major League Baseball stadium, which I don't know if is a big deal for them or not, but she actually put the letter out there as well.
Well, somebody asked the question, which is a good point. How are they going to tell?
I don't think.
First of all, Are they going to be like, are they going to have to make everybody show their breasts at the gate? Be like, oh, no, I recognize those. You're not allowed in. Everybody else, get out right. here.
Nope.
Go in.
I remember the exact shape. Nope. You're not coming in.
I recognize those nipples.
It's the Porky's, the original movie Porky's, there's a mole on the penis.
But do they have, like, facial recognition?
Joel would know more about that. Is there some sort of list that they maintain?
No. I mean, there's a list, right?
I guess if you get caught again, they'll press charges.
So a lot of times, because, you know, like, Tad Brown gets his feelings hurt real easily if everybody in the building doesn't know who he is. So all the security people would get, like, a printed of all the important people in the Rockets organization so that they would know, hey, if this person walks by, say hi to them, because otherwise they get their feelings hurt. But in terms of, like, fans, I think that you could have a list of names. But come on, man, with 18,000 to a game, you think that everybody's getting their ID checked like you're going to a bar? No.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. And the interesting thing that I brought up to you guys, too, was Tim McMahon, the ESPN beat writer that covers the Rockets and also the Mavs, was in Dallas this weekend. If you remember last year, there was that fan that sits courtside that's kind of a rockabilly. He has all the Mavs cowboy hat and boots and whatever. Right. He and Patrick Beverley got into it. Pat Bev went at him pretty hard, said he said some things. The Mavs and the league got together, and evidently the guy was banned like this from ever going to another Mavs game. And Tim McMahon goes, hey, coincidentally, the guy that was banned from NBA games last year for getting into it, Patrick Beverley, is sitting courtside again tonight. What are we doing? Yeah. And I just texted my people at the league. And, of course, their first response was, oh, that was a Mavs thing. That wasn't an NBA thing, so you'll have to ask them. I don't know. But, I mean, that's kind of in conjunction with, because, you know, the league's talking about, just like what happened with Hong Kong and all the other different things, they want to be involved in the discussion.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that it can have ramifications to where it looks bad league-wide. The guy that got into it with Westbrook in Salt Lake City, et cetera, et cetera. The league wants to have a say-so in that because they need to get a grip on it before it gets out of hand.
Yep.
So I'm curious, even from that standpoint, like, how do you enforce it, and why all of a sudden is that ban lifted, and why isn't there someone that says, so that it's not a story, hey, by the way, he learned his lesson, it was for a season, and now he can come back.
Yeah.
So we've got lots to get to. It's going to be a lot of fun. We still got Texans to talk about.
We also have to talk about the guy that had a beer in each hand.
Yes.
And let the home run ball bounce off his chest.
Yep.
That's the manliest man on the planet.
And by the way, so manly.
All you bitches that complain about stuff, or all you dudes that are taking your gloves to the game, be a man.
I hope he doesn't have a checkered past on social media and whatever.
He's in trouble.
Because Bud Light has already come out and said, social media, do your thing. Find us this guy. We want to take care of him because he had two Bud Lights in his hand. But this is like the story of, what was the last story, where the kid with the Tennessee t-shirt? And then all of a sudden they did an investigation.
It was a sign where he was raising money.
Yeah. And they looked into his past and went,
yeah, he said something racist. He was quoting rap lyrics on his Twitter and used the racist.
But Bud Light was going to give him Bud Light for like his
lifetime or something.
Yeah, and then they pulled back. So
yep.
All right, hour number one quickly in the books, but still two to go in the big show. Lots more to get to, and that means you can be involved in it. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects. Hour two right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.